So before we get to the Henry Nouwen paragraphs that are in the bulletin, in fact, set it aside for now so that you can focus. I want you to hear some other words. There's so many great places where Henry Nouwen wrote along these same themes. And I want you to hear another place, and because it picks up where we left off last week. The idea of solitude, the idea of setting some sort of little time aside to hear from God. Henry Nouwen says, "Oh, if we could just sit for one half hour a day doing nothing except taking a simple word from the gospel and putting it in front of us, say, 'The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want.' Say it three times." And we know it's not true because we want many things. That's exactly why we're so nervous. But if I keep saying the truth, the real truth, "The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want," and let that truth descend from our mind into our heart, gradually those words are written on the walls of our inner holy place. That becomes the space in which we can receive our colleagues and our work and our family and our friends and the people whom we will meet during the day. That was the idea of asking you to read aloud, "Be still my soul," to yourself each day, just to let it sink in and to repeat it and to practice. Because it's like he says, you can tell yourself three times in a row, "The Lord is my shepherd," and you still would be saying, "That's probably not true." It takes a while to keep hearing it. But then he also makes an interesting move because he says that by doing this and by hearing it and by it becoming something that our heart can listen to, now we're ready to receive others. Nouwen actually describes a pattern here that can also be seen in the gospel, the actions of Jesus with around the temptation. The pattern he describes is solitude, community, ministry. Solitude, community, ministry. You see, Jesus, the temptation, obviously that's solitude. Sometimes we miss the part because it happens so quickly that he's in the desert, he's in the wilderness for 40 days. He's fasting, he's not eating, and then the devil shows up. But for 40 days, he's in solitude. And then after the solitude, after our reading for tonight, after the Satan leaves him and the angels are ministering him, he leaves. And he withdraws to Galilee, not his area. He withdraws to Galilee into a new territory, but that's where he begins calling disciples. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then he calls James and John. He begins to build community. Solitude. Community. And then it says, "And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people." Solitude, community, ministry. Solitude in the wilderness, community drawing his disciples together, and then ministry. And Henry Nouwen describes this pattern because there's this way in which this pattern can be so much beneficial for us as well. This pattern of solitude, community, ministry. But really, maybe, okay, Henry Nouwen noticed a pattern. What does solitude really have to do with community and ministry? Well, I tried to summarize it with tonight's title, Solitude in Communion with God for Community. To be in solitude and then be in communion with God, to be in relationship, fellowship with God, that is for the sake of community. And that's what Nouwen has been saying, that it is in solitude that we are connected to God and connected to His Word, and then we are ready to be in community and to go into community from knowing who we are in God. Let's go now to the paragraphs in the bulletin. Page 9 of the bulletin. Solitude, community, ministry. Solitude is not a goal in of itself. We are not Christian hermits. Solitude is where God does this work in us and leads us back into community. And so Nouwen says there, compassion is the fruit of solitude. Compassion is hard because it requires the inner disposition to go with others to the places where they are weak, vulnerable, lonely, and broken. Our greatest gift to others is our ability to enter into solidarity with those who suffer. It is in solitude that this compassionate solidarity grows. Because in solitude, we realize that nothing in the human experience is alien to us. That the roots of all conflict, war, injustice, cruelty, hatred, jealousy, and envy are deeply anchored in our own heart. In solitude, our heart of stone can be turned into a heart of flesh, a rebellious heart into a contrite heart, a closed heart into a heart that can open itself to all suffering people in a gesture of solidarity. In and through solitude, we do not move away from people. On the contrary, we move closer to them through compassionate ministry. That's the role of solitude in your lives. How does solitude lead to our hearts being transformed? How does it lead to all of this, a heart of stone into a heart of flesh? How does solitude do that? Because it seems like getting away from whatever fears and anxieties and responsibilities that we have, seems like getting away into solitude, that would be freeing until you have to go back. Nouwen seems to be saying that there's some sort of freedom that comes with being back in community. He's saying that the solitude, or what God is doing in that solitude, remains with you when you enter again into community. That's the amazing thing about this. That's also why it's difficult, because it's slowing us down. It's having to say, "The Lord is my shepherd," more than 3 times to ourselves, because it takes a while for ourselves to really hear the word. Here's another place that Nouwen talks about this. These voices are strong in the world. The voices that are saying that we need to prove something, that we need to show something for our work. In fact, they were loud for Jesus too. Nouwen says that it just reminds us that right before Jesus goes into the wilderness, right before he goes into the wilderness was when he was baptized. And when he was baptized, the voice came from the cloud and it said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And so when Jesus enters into the wilderness, when he goes into solitude, the thing that is going through his mind is, "You are my beloved Son." That's the voice that is in his head and it is in his heart. And yet there's all those other voices that come through Satan in the temptation. Really, Satan is saying things like, "Prove that you are the beloved. Prove that you're worth something. Prove you have any contribution to make. Do something relevant. Be sure that you make a name for yourself. At least have some power, then people will love you. Then people will say you're wonderful, you're great." Those are the voices that are strong in this world. And they were the voices that Jesus heard right after he heard, "You are my beloved." And those are the voices that we struggle with too. So what is it about solitude? Solitude is stepping away with a word from God to keep hearing that word and trying to quiet the other voices for a moment. You are his beloved. You are his beloved. Or say it to yourself, I am his beloved. And to keep hearing that, to be in communion with God in those words that he applies to you. They're not only for Jesus, but because of what Jesus has come and done, they are also words for you. You are his beloved. And you're in communion with God through that, so that when you step into community, when you step into community with one another and in your family and out in the world, you still have that word of God with you. You are his beloved. Go back to the paragraphs in the bulletin. How can those paragraphs describe you? How can they describe you? Compassion is the fruit of solitude. Compassion is difficult because it requires an inner disposition to go with others to the place where they are weak, vulnerable, lonely, and broken. It's scary to go into somebody's weakness because we know we're weak ourselves. So how can I go into that unless I am reminded I am God's beloved? I can step into this weakness. Our greatest gift to others is our ability to enter into solidarity with those who suffer. It is in solitude that this compassionate solidarity grows. In solitude, we realize that nothing is alien to us, that the roots of all conflict, war, injustice, cruelty, hatred, jealousy, and envy are deeply anchored in our own heart. Do you see what he's saying? That in solitude, you come face to face with your sin. And when you step into community, you realize your sin is the same. Just shows up differently, but it is the same in all the people around you. You have that same space. And yet you also know that God loves you and forgives you. You know that you are his beloved. So you can step into people's weakness. You can walk with them. You can have solidarity with them in suffering. You can show empathy for them because you are his beloved. It struck me that those paragraphs in the bulletin, in some ways, they do a pretty good job describing Jesus also. Especially that part where it says, our greatest gift to others. God's greatest gift, Jesus' greatest gift to us, is his entering into solidarity with us. This is slow, isn't it? It's slow. I was going to say work, but I don't want you to think of it as work. It's slow receiving. You are his beloved. I am his beloved. It is slow to keep receiving that and to hear it. So to sit 1/2 hour, it's a discipline, it's a practice this week to keep hearing those words, I am his beloved. Let's say them together 3 times. We still won't believe them necessarily, but let's say them 3 times. I am his beloved. I am his beloved. I am his beloved. That practice, so it sustains you in temptation, it sustains you in crowds, it sustains you as you care for others. Solitude, community, ministry. You cannot serve or be in community without that solitude, without hearing that word from God. Solitude, community, ministry. I didn't realize till I was finished writing this, I was starting to realize solitude, community, ministry, and then it circles back, right? Solitude, community, ministry. And then you know, you're in solitude, I am his beloved, and then community ministry, it's that cycle, and then it struck me. It's pray, love. The three words we use so often to describe our way of life. It's pray, time with God, eat, which you just did tonight, in community, time building relationships, love, ministry, serving others, pray, eat, love. So it is solitude, community, ministry, pray, eat, love. And this week, focus on those words, you are his beloved, I am his beloved. May that be the thing that builds you up this week in God. If you weren't with us last week, I introduced this whole series by saying Henri Nouwen was a friend of Jean Vanier, who led the arch communities around the world, now who has passed away, but has recently been revealed that he sexually abused multiple women in part of these communities. It's not known that Henri Nouwen had anything to do with it, but it's uncomfortable to begin the series knowing that that was part of this community. So each week we will lift up those affected by sexual abuse in our prayers, and the back page of the bulletin has information about the Zechariah Center, so that if you or someone you know is affected by this, there are resources for you. Let us pray. Because I have this feeling some of you are telling yourself, I'm not that kind of person who spends time in solitude or silence. Guessing somebody out there might be going, I'm not that kind of person. Think about it this way. You ever watch the Olympics? You watch swimming in the Olympics. Have you ever noticed that swimmers before the race, they'll have their headphones on and they're like this, and they're thinking through the whole race, every flip, every turn, every breath? And you would never go, oh, that's so silly. No, they're like incredible athletes. You're like, okay, I guess they're envisioning it and they're thinking about the race. In that same way, in your faith, think of it that way, that you're envisioning where God is leading you and taking you and hearing that word. Think about it that way. That's my encouragement tonight.